You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In recent weeks, primary to secondary school students have been returning to class for the year, with some students entering newly established charter schools. This comes after Associate Education Minister David Seymour announced in May 2024 that charter schools would be returning this year, with the government allocating a budget of $153 million to fund the privately owned schools. According to Minister Seymour, charter schools will offer new and innovative ways to help students struggling to succeed in school. However, the 2024 announcement has raised concern amongst educators and researchers in the state system, who have been asking for better resources and funding for several years now. I spoke to Senior Lecturer in Critical Studies and Education at the University of Auckland, Dr. Jude MacArthur, about the differences between charter schools and state schools and how students will be affected. The government is bringing back charter schools after they were disestablished in 2018, and since late January, we've received news that seven new charter schools are expected to open in the coming weeks. What are the differences between charter schools and state schools?
There's a number of differences between them. Basically state schools are crown entities at the outset, so they have particular objectives and powers that are set out in legislation. Charter schools are quite different though. They're operated independently by a sponsor, that has a contract with the government, and they have particular targets around achievement and attendance that they have to meet in that regard. We could talk a little bit more about what those sponsors might look like, but in the last iteration, 2014, charter schools in New Zealand, they were mainly community bodies, including Māori organisations, specific groups, education trusts, that kind of thing. Overseas, those sponsors have been people like businesses and private schools and that kind of thing. So state schools are accountable to their parent and their school community through their board of trustees. Charter schools don't have that same responsibility. They can take it up, but they're not required to have that. They are really accountable to the charter school agency for approval and monitoring and so on and holding them to account. There's differences in funding as well. Charter schools are funded per student. They're basically given that as a cash sum per student, and they have a lot of flexibility in how they use that money, whereas our state schools are funded by the ministry based on the number of students, disadvantage levels and that kind of thing. But there's a significant other difference here around flexibility. So Minister Seymour has been the person responsible for setting these schools up, and he is very keen for these schools to have flexibility around the curriculum. So for example, while state schools have to teach the New Zealand curriculum, charter schools can set their own curriculum. They have a lot of flexibility around teaching and learning, the hours and days that they operate. Children can bring their cell phones. They don't have to use structured literacy, that kind of thing. 75% of their teachers have to be qualified, but 25%, unlike state schools, 25% of their teachers do not have to be qualified. They can teach in a permanent role under a limited authority to teach. And I think just finally, the last difference really is around their focus and character. So charter schools do have to have a particular focus or character. And if you look at the charter school agencies, that could be something around culture, religion, sports, extension, military. Those are the examples that they give.
In an article for The Conversation, you write that it seems charter schools will enjoy benefits unavailable to state schools, such as more teacher aides and smaller class sizes. Furthermore, the government has reserved $153 million in funding for charter schools. How might such resources and funding assist state schools?
Well, obviously that money would assist state schools, and I referred in the article to some work that NZEI have done where they've said, that would fund 700 teacher aides across the country. I mean, I think we have yet to see what the impact might be for most children who, we have to remember that most children are in their local school, and most children who have challenges with their learning, who are neurodivergent or have disabilities, that's true for them as well. Most of them are in their local schools. The charter schools have been set up by Minister Seymour on the basis that children are not achieving well in their schools. And according to David Seymour, the problem is that parents don't have enough choice about the schools that are available. And schools are too busy trying to respond to policy demands and so on. And it's ironical in a way that Minister Seymour is also part of a government that has put a lot of pressure on teachers recently to change a lot of the ways that they work and operate with children. But on the one hand, he's doing that, but also now saying that's a problem for schools, and what we need now is charter schools that free teachers up from that and give them the time that they need to work with underachieving and neurodivergent students. And the question I've asked in that article is, you know, what will happen now if $153 million of public money is no longer available to state schools where we know that money is needed? And again, the other irony is that if we look at some of the examples of these schools, the resourcing appears to be pretty good. And also, the resources that are being given to those schools and the capability that they have are things that our teachers in our state schools have been asking for years to enhance student achievement, you know, like smaller class sizes, for example, more time to be able to collaborate with other people around students who need learning support and that kind of thing. So I think, you know, in response to your question, I have questions, further questions really about, you know, what is this going to mean if that money is not available? And I guess, you know, the other question is, we say $153 million, but as we found out last time, we may not actually know just exactly how much this is going to cost and where this might go. And, you know, there are questions, I think, that need to be asked around, is there in the future going to be a situation where more money is taken away from the state system and put into charter schools? And who's that going to benefit and who's going to lose out as a result of that?
You've already touched on this, but according to the Charter School Agency, charter schools will have more flexibility, which Minister Seymour claims will lead to more achievement for priority learners. Is there any evidence that charter schools are more effective?
I mean, the evaluation that was done of 8 of the 11 charter schools that started up in 2014 was pretty mixed, and I think even that evaluation sort of concluded that we can't really be confident that those schools did enhance student achievement, and that was really because there was insufficient data to be able to really confidently say that. And I think the other thing is, if we're talking about students who are underachieving or neurodivergent students and so on particularly, and Minister Seymour has, you know, repeatedly referred to those groups of students as requiring the sort of support that charter schools can provide. If we look at those students, we don't know what happened in terms of learning for those kids because the data wasn't collected.
Following on from that, according to a 2023 report published to the Ministry of Education, many neurodivergent and other disabled students are not achieving equitable education outcomes. Why might disabled students struggle more in school?
There are lots of reasons for that. I mean, it's a very complex task for a teacher to teach in a very diverse classroom. They need to have very good knowledge, they need good levels of support, they need to know how to collaborate well and have the time to collaborate with other professionals and so on. The addition of a teacher aide to every classroom is something that state schools have been asking for a long time, and I just noted that one of the charter schools has 3 teacher aides and a teacher for 26 students. I mean, a lot of schools would just love that kind of support. We know that disabled children and neurodivergent children and young people really struggle because there is a lack of resource and support for them, their whānau and their teachers and their schools. It's clearly a resourcing issue, and that's why at the start of this interview I mentioned that while Minister Seymour sees the problem as insufficient choice and teachers having too many demands upon their time in terms of policy change and so on, actually the problem really is that our resources and support simply aren't good enough. And we've got so much work to do in that area. That's why I'm asking these questions now. Is this money better spent in our state school system where it's clearly needed?
Going back to the differences between charter schools and state schools, do you believe there is reason to think we are at risk of education becoming privatised?
I mean, I think if you look at our history, you know, we've been looking at sort of shifts that could be considered to be sort of privatisation over 30 to 40 years. We've always had a wide range of choices available to parents. Parents can choose to go to private schools, for example, and so on. I think it is a good question to ask, where is this heading? I mean, if we look at the first seven schools that have been named as charter schools, there are questions around whether these schools really are for disengaged students, neurodivergent students, children and young people who are not achieving as well as they should be.
That was Senior Lecturer in Critical Studies in Education at the University of Auckland, Dr. Jude MacArthur, speaking to me about the return of charter schools.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.